Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a happy day today. Today is youth service at Calvary Baptist Church, and we're going to love on our kids. And the pastor here is very gracious, and he allows the young people here to have the whole day, both the Sunday morning service and the Sunday night. Our kids are going to sing. They're going to take up the offering. They're going to make the announcements. You're going to get to hear Kevin Brook today. He's our child who grew up in our youth group and our children's home, and he's a senior in college. Can you believe that now? At Christian College, he's going to share a little bit of his testimony today, and we're just glad you're here. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. Literally, there's nothing better in my life to see my kids walk in what is true. You know what's precious about that? If you're lifting up Jesus Christ and you're helping the young people, you're helping them to avoid some of the pitfalls that this world has to offer. We're helping them to have the healthy marriages that God wants them to have. We're helping them to have the honest businesses that God wants them to have if they will just walk in truth. And this is a part of that by allowing them the opportunity to use their gifts and share in church. Our dear hope, Brother Allen, is that these kids will be serving in churches all over the place in the days to come, wherever God may lead them and carry them, many of them hopefully back right here, but wherever God carries them, we'll be thrilled with that and just happy. I tell you, it's a happy day because tonight, Calvary Children's Home is providing the meal for Calvary Baptist Church. Tonight down in the Fellowship Hall. And let me tell you something, we're going to do something. We're going to try to match your effort. This church has been very good to us, so we're going to try to be very good for y'all. Miss Darlene's been cooking up a storm. Let me tell you something, she has famous deviled eggs. I don't know how many of you like deviled eggs, but have you ever smelled what a church load of boiled eggs smells like? Let me tell you something, Darlene's house last night smelled like somebody needed medical attention. I'm not kidding you. We didn't know if Miss Darlene was going to make it. You know, it's unbelievable. But she's been working on that, going to have some ham, some pork chops, and all that good stuff tonight. So we're just excited about that. We want to love on you today. Again, our prayer is that our kids' songs and their testimonies will be echoing through your heart this week. Would you pray that God will do that for us? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for a church that believes in young people. Lord, we thank you for the hope that Jesus Christ has brought into our lives. I say in front of my friends today, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. There's nothing like you, and I give you honor and glory today, and I pray, Lord, that you'd look our way, that you'd breathe on our hearts as we try to share the things you've laid upon our hearts, and that you'd bless everything that our kids do. Help us to have an eternity impactful day today. We can only do that if you'll help us. Please bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger, your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy.
Kevin is going to share something. I don't know if it's his testimony or what the Lord has laid on his heart, but I just wanted to say something. Several years ago, I'm not sure how old you were. Were you 15, 16 when you got saved?
Probably 17.
Yeah, maybe 17. But we truly, when Kevin got saved, we truly saw what you expect when someone gets saved. You just see them become a totally brand new creation. And he jumped, I call it jumping in, going all the way, getting your hair wet, you know. Sometimes we like to wade out in the water, and we may go a little bit. And most of us women, a lot of times, we just get to a certain point because we don't get our hair wet. But when Kevin got it, he got it all. He's out at Hot Springs, Arkansas, Champion Bible College or Champion Christian College. I'm not sure of the title. But he's a humble young man. He has a desire to be in ministry. And God can use that. God can use humility. God can use a humble young man. How many times do you see that in today's society where we got humble young men that are wanting to be in the ministry? Also, he's just got a great work ethic. He's so diligent and hardly working. I'm hearing that he's trying his best to become valedictorian of his graduating class. So good job, Kevin. But we're just very, very proud of him, and I pray that you'll listen to whatever he shares with us. And just more importantly, as Kevin goes back, that you'll really cover him in prayer as he completes this last year at Bible College, and that the Lord will begin to make known to him, and he'll be receptive and ready for whatever God has for him, because I know it's going to be amazing.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you for Enderlin for saying all those kind things. And I don't see myself that way. You know, I see myself the way that, you know, that I think most of you would see yourselves. You know, we're not perfect, but it's good to know that the Lord works through me and it impacts other people. I would like to share a verse. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" My first semester in Champion, as you can imagine, you know, I was 500 miles away from home. I didn't have any friends. So there was a lot of times where I was super lonely. And there was just one time where it felt really bad. And so I started to pray and I asked the Lord, you know, I don't want to feel lonely anymore. Obviously, like, no one likes to feel that. So I was asking him to, you know, to change that in me or to help me with that in some way. And about a week later, some of you may not know, but I work in the cafeteria for my school. So about a week later, someone came to the cafeteria, and he used to work there. He's a staff member, but he used to work in the cafeteria. So he would come, like, while we're making dinner, and I got to be really good friends with him. And so we are super close. But two semesters ago, I got really sick. I'm pretty sure it was COVID because my roommate had COVID, but I didn't get checked or anything, but I was super sick. One of the worst sicknesses I ever had. And that friend that I made texted me, and you know, I hadn't been at work, and that's usually when we would meet because he would go to the kitchen. I hadn't been at work, and he was like, "You okay, man? Like, what's going on?" And I told him I was sick, and he texted me and said, "You know, what can I do for you?" And I said, "I would really just like some soup. I was super sick. My body hurt. I couldn't eat." So he came to my door and dropped off about six things of Campbell's noodle soup. And maybe to you, that's not a big deal. But to me, that's a huge thing. Because I'm poor. I'm sick. I'm hungry. And this friend who I asked God, I said, "God, I need one friend. Just somebody to help me when I'm lonely." God gave me that friend. And through that friend, I was able to get something that helped me when I was sick. God said he gave us his son, and he would freely give us all things. Maybe to you, some soup isn't a big deal, but there, God has done so much for me during this time at my school that every time I see soup, I remember that God cares for me. He gave me a friend, and through that friend helped me when I was sick. And I go to Bible studies with that friend. I drink coffee with that friend. He's one of the best friends I've ever had. And it was during a time that I said, "God, I need your help. I can't do this. I'm alone. I need friendship. I need somebody." And God gave me that friend. And every time that I see him, I'm reminded that God cares intimately for me. And he sees me. And he knows that I need help. And when I ask him for things, that he will give them to me. He's given me his son. How will he not give me things that are far beyond that? And things that he proves to me that he cares for me and he cares for his people. And through that friend, I've learned so many things. And there's so many things I could share with you about how even just in college, and I know that he'll do more for me and that he'll show more of himself. But just in this small period of time, I've seen that God looks at me and he cares for me. And I see it in this church and I see it through my friends. And I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I hope that we can be reminded that God sees us and he's given us his son. And that there's nothing else that he won't give us to remind us that he loves us. Thank you.
This morning, page 377 in your hymnal, there is a fountain.
Sunday fellowship tonight in the fellowship hall. A meal and dessert will be provided. Please remember our prayer request. Brother Leonard Palmer is undergoing medical treatment and testing. Brother James Townsend has received an iron infusion and he's getting better. Deanne Ellie, she is having a consultation regarding back surgery. And please stay on the top of the bulletin and all the prayer requests and announcements. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. And the ushers, please come down. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your day. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning, giving us another day to live to serve you. I thank you so much for this opportunity to come here and just worship you, Lord. And I pray that you would just watch over us today, that you would just help us all, Lord, just to draw closer to you, Lord. And I pray that you would be with the rest of the songs today, Lord, and that you would be with Uncle B as he shares this message. And I pray that it would just speak to someone, Lord, and that you could change someone's life, Lord. And I pray that you would be with just everybody today, Lord, that you would just help them. And I pray that you would be with the offering, that you would just be with us, Lord. I love you, thank you, and praise you in your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Try to tell you, I found my way here on my own. Brought to life this heart of stone. Made up my own mind to change my own life. Working my own way to good, as if anybody could. But the truth is, I've been broken since my very first birth. And the truth is, I've been wandering since my very first step. I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed is not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. I still remember the day he found me, 6 feet under all my shame. I heard him call me out by name. Hallelujah. Cross is spoken. My Savior bled and died to bring this dead man back to life. I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed, it's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. It's all because of mercy. I'm just as desperate for you now as I was back then. If I ever should forget, remind me once again. I'm just as desperate for you now as I was back then. If I ever should forget, remind me once again. I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed, it's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. It's all because of mercy. It's all because of mercy.
might not be able to part the waters, might not be able to calm the storm, might not be able to make my giants fall. But good thing I'm not alone, 'cause there is a power that is greater. So I'm not afraid of what's ahead. I'm standing in the confidence that even though I can't, my God can. You heal those who hurt and comfort every broken heart. Restore the homes of families who've been torn apart. Tell chains to like only He can. I might not be able to part the waters, might not be able to calm the storm, might not be able to make my giants fall. But good thing I'm not alone, 'cause there is a power that is greater. So I'm not afraid of what's ahead. I'm standing in the confidence that even though I can't, my God can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things, 'cause the Spirit. Might not be able to make my giants fall, but good thing I'm not alone, 'cause there is a power that is greater, so I'm not afraid of what's ahead. I'm standing in the confidence that even though I can't, my God can. Oh, oh, my God can.
Aren't you thankful that our God is all able and all capable and can help with every single thing in our life? And He sees even our need for soup. Isn't that precious when you think about those things? God demonstrates Himself. I don't know about you, but the young people are always a blessing to me. I will be thinking this week about that song that said, I can stand here today unashamed. It's all because of mercy, right? The things that we have done wrong, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, have been nailed upon the cross of Jesus, and your sins have been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. How about that? Hallelujah. I can stand here unashamed because God sees me not through any righteousness of my own, but through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How precious is that for sure? Kevin's a blessing to me. Sometimes Kevin will send me a picture of his food because he's out and he works in the kitchen, so he can whoop up some good stuff. But he always sends me, like I'm going to like it, some picture of some healthy something, some broccoli and some chicken and some like rice pilaf or something, you know. But God's looked out for him, and I'm just grateful for the young people. I hope that they're a blessing. I tell you the truth, I don't know what you're feeling about the young people in our youth group is, but mine is that they're a pretty great bunch. I won't lie to you. I've been around for a long time, and those girls will hug you, you know. They'll reach out to you and be a friend to you. The boys are wonderful. We never have, a couple of times a year, we'll do a widow's project where we try to go out and serve a widow in some way. We've helped a couple of precious people this year, and almost 100% of the time, we have 100% participation. Nobody's drafted. Nobody's voluntold. They volunteer, and they go and do that. And so I'm thankful for what Jesus is doing in their lives. If you have your Bibles, go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. It's imperative that you get it in front of you. They're going to have it on the board in just a second. We're going to maybe go to the first seven verses, but we'll start in the first three. We'll see what time allows this morning. But in Genesis chapter number 12, we see literally one of the most pivotal moments in human history. I mean, there's a few moments in the Word of God that if you were to look at what's going on there, if you subtract this minute, it would make a catastrophic difference. I mean, an absolute disaster. Because if you know anything about the Bible, the first two chapters of Genesis are God working without man, right? God's just making, and everything is good. Let me ask you a question. If you ever look out on the great expanses of America and the places where man has not been able to build, aren't they beautiful? In fact, I can say it to you this way. Anywhere we haven't jacked it up, it's stunning, right? God made everything beautiful. He just did. And we're starting to put cell towers on the top of those mountains and things like that. But where man has not been involved, God made it good. But by chapter number 3, the serpent was involved and hooked up with a man, and it is a mess from that point forward. And by chapter number 11, we're building an I don't need you tower. We're building an I don't need you God tower, and we're at the Tower of Babel, and the flood has already happened, and that did not solve the problem. People keep resisting God. But you know what's amazing? We have an extraordinary God that reaches out to ordinary people and seeks to involve himself even though we don't want him. Isn't that a priceless act of love on his part? And in the middle of this God, we don't want you tower, God reaches into a pagan family. Don't throw rocks at me. The Bible says that Abraham's father worshipped false idols. That's what it says. He reached into a pagan family and said, I want you. Amen. And he called out to a man named Abraham. And the Bible says in verse number 12, in the midst of all this brokenness, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, we'll call him Abraham, but he's not had his name changed yet, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You probably could deduct why God would call him to get away from his father's house. You might remember we said his father was a worshiper of false gods, and God was calling him away from something to something. He said, I want you to leave something, and I'm going to show you something. Let me just say this to you. If God tells you to leave something, you don't need it. You don't need it. How often does God have to say to you, leave it? You don't need it. And if God tells you to leave something, let me just say it this way, state the obvious to you. You cannot get to what God is trying to carry you to until you leave what God has told you to leave. If Abraham stays put, he never experiences any of the things that God is trying to work out in his life. He has been called to leave. If he stays put, he will miss out on everything that God has for him. If God calls you to leave something, you can't get where he wants you to go unless you do that. In verse number 2, he begins to speak to him unbelievable things. He said to him, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Wow. Think of what God just said to Abraham. You follow me. You leave there. You come with me. I will show you. I will make you. I will bless you. Could you let that roll through your head? God said, the God of heaven, the Lord of all the earth, said to Abraham, I'll show you, I'll make you, I'll bless you. And I don't have time to break it down for you today, but I could tell you that is a pattern that is lived out in the lives of most of the Bible characters and something that God seeks to demonstrate in your life. Do you know why? Because here's the cycle of how the Christian life is supposed to work. The more you know God, the more you love God. Why is that? Because God is love. And you can't possibly come in contact with a God that loves you in spite of you without loving him. Your heart's natural inclination will be to love a God that loves you. The more you know God, the more you love God, the more you love God, the more you serve God, the more you serve God, the more you get to know God. Most of the great stories that I have where God has moved in spectacular ways, I found them in serving God, doing something for other people that God instructed me to do. The more you know God, the more you love God, the more you love God, the more you serve God. God said to Abraham, come with me. Come with me. I will show you. I will make you. I will bless you. Think of how it worked in David's life. God demonstrated to David, reached into him in the sheepfold, the Bible says, and anointed him. And the Spirit of God came upon him. It was God that reached to David, not David that reached to God. And he showed him with that lion and that bear, I have given you the strength for war, right? And as he began to reveal that to David, all of a sudden he made David the guy who could stand up before Goliath. He actually said, God showed me back there what he's doing in my life. He showed him. He made him something special. And then he blessed him. The Bible actually says that God said, to David, I took you from the sheepcote and I cut off all your enemies before you. You thought David was big and bad, didn't you? It was God Almighty that fought on David's behalf. It was the Lord God that fought for David. He showed David, he made David, he blessed David. And if you would walk with God, you'd find that pattern in your life as well. And he has called him to that and he has said, come with me. And these things happen. Verse number 3, it takes takes a turn. And the Bible says, and I will bless them that bless thee. Is God not saying to Abraham, I will be for you? I'm going to clear the path as you walk with me. Anybody who befriends you, I will befriend them. He went on to say, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families all of the earth be blessed. Wow. God has reached into a pagan family and called this guy to walk with him, and he made him an incredible promise. He said, if you follow me in this way, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Do you have a family? You got a family? You part of a family? Can I tell you something? Because Abraham walked with God, your family has been blessed. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ was born into the family of Abraham. Through this man's obedience and his walking with God, God delivered a Messiah. And how is your family blessed? Catch this. You never have to say goodbye to your spouse if you both know Jesus Christ. You never have to say goodbye to your children if you both know Jesus Christ. Those are my forever family. I'll never say goodbye to Melita. I'll see you later. I'll see you on the other side. But you can't tell me God did not bless us through this family and through Jesus Christ. Think about our church family. Those of us who know Jesus Christ, don't you believe these rich ladies, that's actually their family name? Don't you know that they're saved and you believe that they're saved? That's a great banker name, by the way. She was a banker all those years. At any rate, all of us who've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't have to say goodbye to each other. We're tied together by something that's going to carry us into eternity. I'll give you another date. I've done this once before, but 200 years from today, I'll meet you by the Crystal Sea. And here's the deal. Let's sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners washed beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I don't know if we'll sing it this way. There was a fountain filled with blood, because by then all of our sins have been washed away. Randy, you bring the harmonica. Brother Ceylon, you carry the keyboard. Randy, warm up your things, because we'll sing I'm Amazed after we get done with that thing, right? I promise you, as Abraham obeys God, God can do the spectacular through his life. God is calling upon him to follow him, and he can do those things. Now back up for just a second and look at those previous words. He said in verse number 3, the Lord of all the earth said, and I will bless them that bless thee. Do you know who needs to be unbelievably grateful for this verse? Do you know who needs to be unbelievably grateful? Fall on your face, jump, shout, dance grateful if you're an American. If you're an American, you need to be so glad for this verse. Do you know why? Because God said to Abraham, I will make thee a nation. What nation did God make Abraham? The nation of Israel. And God said, those that bless thee, I will bless. Can I ask you a question? Why has God not swatted the fire out of America? Why has God not in the last 60 years said, that's enough? And there's so much sin in this place. In the 60s and 70s, all of that drug. In the 80s and 90s, all that horrible teaching. The church was chasing after money and gold dust and things that would come out of the sky. That was a terrible sound, wasn't it? Hairball, gold. Anyway, gold dust. You follow what I'm saying? In the early 2000s, compromises began to happen. A man could marry a man, and today we have confusion, right? The decisions made in the 2000s now are affecting us, and now we don't know which bathroom that we're supposed to use and who's supposed to run in boys and girls sports and all this gender confusion. You know what I tell our young people? When you come across young people who are gender confused and they believe that they're the undergender, you should speak to them with compassion like someone who's been deceived by the enemy of their soul. That literally, because the thing that I could do for you if I were your enemy is I could try to convince you that you could become something you simply cannot become. The Bible says God made them male and female, and it doesn't matter what you do. You cannot become the other gender, and you're confused, and you've been led astray, and we should be compassionate towards that, but always speak the truth. And it's a totally different thing when that person's trying to convince you that you should be that. Now you have to address that. But why has God not smacked this country? Let me tell you something, just my opinion. I believe in 2015, when Barack Obama put the homosexual colors on the White House, I believe with all my heart the first 20 presidents would have taken up arms. I believe with all my heart the first 20 presidents who built this nation on Judeo-Christian values would have said, oh no, we're fighting. You're not taking us down that road. That we're not going to embrace something that God has said to shun from. That was a horrible, horrible act. But why has God not swatted America? Can I tell you something? Because Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 3 is a blanket promise. God said, those who bless thee, I will bless. White, black, gay, straight,
corrupt, evil, good, or not good. Whoever blesses Israel, they will get the blessings of God according to the sure word of God. And you know, you need to be thankful for Joe Biden for one thing. Because Joe Biden said that this past month, he said, we have an ironclad friendship with the nation of Israel. And you need to be appreciative of that, because if an American president ever says, we are no longer the friend of Israel, you will no longer be able to sing God Bless America. If America ever opposes Israel, you welcome the curse that comes in that verse. Those that bless thee, I will bless, and those that curse thee, I will curse. You say, you know what, Brian, I think you're taking it a little too far. I think that's just a little unrealistic. Can I ask you a question? Do you remember that curse thee, I will curse? Do you know on April 14th of this year, Iran said, we're going to fight Israel? And Iran sent thousands, or hundreds rather, of missiles and rockets into the land of Israel, and they shot all of them down. The tragedy was that they're launching these $10,000 weapons, and you got to shoot them down with million-dollar weapons, so it is costly, but they shot all of them down. Now follow this. April 14th, Iran shot missiles into Israel to attack Israel. May 19th, same year, the Iranian president died in a helicopter crash. Did you catch what I just said? Let me tell you something. You fight Israel, you might not want to get on a helicopter. You fight Israel, you might not want to go out in the street. You know what you need to do? You need to repent. You need to repent. You say, I don't know, Brian. I mean, can you really say that? Can you really say that? Did Jesus the King not say not even a sparrow falls without the Father's consent? Did Jesus the King not say that? Jesus is the giver of life, and he determines, the God the Father determines the day of your death. And you fought Israel on the sure word of God, you'll be cursed. And God was saying to Abraham these precious things. Don't get bogged down in the difficulties of that, but understand this one thing. America needs to stand by Israel. We just do. We need to stand by the people of God, and we need to stand by, I don't call all of Israel the people of God, but that's the family he's referring to in this passage, but also the family of faith that Abraham's a part of. The Christian church, we're the family of Abraham, but the New Testament actually says, calls him our father of the family of faith. And as we walk through this, set all that I just told you aside and just realize what God is saying to Abraham. God is saying to Abraham, I've got something to show you. God's making him some incredible promises. You come with me, I'm going to show you something. Don't you love to show people that you love the things that you've discovered? Don't you love, I got to go to Yellowstone a few years ago. My urgent desire as soon as I got back is, oh, Melita's got to see that. Melita's got to see that, right? You love the show. God said to Abraham, I'm going to show you. What was he going to show him? That land that has Jerusalem, that land that has Bethlehem, that land that has Mount Calvary. And he told him, you look east, west, north, south. You have it all. It is for you, Abraham. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you. And by the way, right away, he's already told him, I'm going to do something impossible in your life. Why do you say that I say that? Because he said, I'm going to make thee a nation. You're going to have descendants. And in the chapter number 11, we barely know Abram, right? And we barely know Sarah. But one thing that's true, in the previous chapter, the Bible says clear as day, Sarah is barren. Did you catch that? I'm telling this man with a barren wife, you're going to have a nation full of descendants. I'm going to build something in your life. I'm going to make something impossible. If you ever read the story of Abraham, Isaac, and you wonder, how did Abraham have so much faith? How was he able to say that he believed that even if he did kill his son, that God would raise him from the dead? Can I tell you why? Because Abraham had already seen God raise a dead womb. Abraham had already seen God work in Sarah's life. It was impossible for her to have a child, but God had worked on his behalf. So he clearly just said, okay, I've seen God work, and he's going to do these things. He was going to make him something special, and he was going to bless him. You know what he was saying? The marvelous God was saying to Abraham, I intend to show kindness to you, and I want to be deeply involved in your life. And that leads me, we only have 2 points today, to point number one, and it's a little bit lengthy, so stick with me. There is an extraordinary God that seeks to involve himself in the lives of ordinary people. And if the ordinary people will allow God to involve himself, God will deposit some of his extraordinary into your life. Did you catch that? There's an extraordinary God who truly wants to involve himself in the lives of ordinary people. And if these ordinary people will make way for God and cooperate with God, God will begin to deposit some of that extraordinarily beautiful things into our lives. I could take that, put it up, and stand in front of every Bible college in America and say, prove me wrong. Take the Bible, prove me wrong. Pick any character in the Bible and see what happened. Where did God meet Paul? Where was Paul out? when God met him. When God involved himself in Paul's life, Paul is on a murderous rage, right? He's going through murdering and persecuting the church and wreaking havoc, the Bible says, and creating chaos. And suddenly, God interjects himself in the life of Paul, and Paul cooperates. And now what's going on, Kevin? The Bible says that Paul basically is the greatest missionary ever. Do you know who wrote the Romans Road? The same guy who was creating chaos before Jesus got there, right? As soon as he cooperated with God, suddenly things were totally different in his life, and some of the beauty began to develop. Do you know who, the writer who said, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God"? That was Senior Paul, right? Who said, "I'm the chief of sinners, but God was gracious to us." When we see Peter, Peter's just a fisherman. I don't mean to mock fishermen, but have you ever smelled a fisherman that smelled good? I don't know what it is, but all the fishermen I know have an aversion to deodorant. I can't explain it to you, right? But fishing by itself is a stinky profession. And back then, they didn't have water hoses to wash it all down. I bet you those boats stunk to the gunnels, right? And Peter's out there just fishing and rough, and look what God did in his life. The brother, when he let Jesus work in his life, he wrote two books of the Bible, for crying out loud. He preached at Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved. Walk through the list. What about David? David's in the sheep. He's just taking care of the sheep when God comes his way. What's the most consequential day of David's life? Do you think when he became king at 30, when he became king of the whole nation at 37, the day he married the princess, the day he killed Goliath, you know what the most consequential day of David's life is? The day Samuel anointed him as a teenage boy, because the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. And David wrote things that have helped people for centuries, for thousands and thousands of years. That man's pen wrote beautiful things by the Spirit of God and what God had built in his life. You could just go through Joseph. He's just checking on his brothers, and here comes a ride from God to Egypt. And something spectacular. Nehemiah's just serving a cup. He's just a servant, and he's just serving a cup to a king when a promise from God hit his heart. And God said, if you come back to me, even if you're scattered from all over the earth, you call on me and I can bring you home. And he grabbed hold of that thing. And we could clearly show that from our experiences in reading in the Bible. I promise you, I'd get me a sign and sit out of any Bible college and say, prove me wrong. There's a God who wants to deposit some extraordinary things in your life. But let's just walk through what we've seen in our lives. Anybody remember a lady named Barbara Anderson? Anybody remember her? Amen. Ordinary as you could be. Amen. On the outside, she looked like she came out of central casting for the grandmother part in a Hallmark movie, right? She had those chubby cheeks. She made them 3-inch brownies that she put nicotine in. I'm telling you, they draw you, you know, bring you back to them. But you know what Barbara Anderson told me? Barbara Anderson told me that she did not want to come to this church. She wanted to go to the First Baptist Church, but the Spirit of God drew her. And the Spirit of God troubled her until she came to this church. You know what Barbara Anderson didn't know? She didn't know that this church was the home church of Calvary Children's Home when she got here. And God had previously said to her, Miss Barbara, I didn't give you children of your own so you'll have room in your heart for other people's children. And she came here. Let me tell you something. Calvary Children's Home, we try to be a God wants to help you stop. With all our heart, we try to say, listen, we know your family situations. I'll let the kids tell you sometime if they want to tell you some of their stories and the things that go. But let me say this to you. Nobody in this room would choose one of their backgrounds, right? No, they wouldn't have chose the place that they came from. But I won't tell you those things. But let me just say this to you. We say to them, Jesus really does want to help you. God didn't break your family, but he's really put us here. And we want to help you. And do you know what? For about 20 years, the first stop on the God wants to help you train was by God's direction. First stop was Miss Barbara Anderson's Sunday school class. And let me tell you something, we could have searched the world over and looked for a candidate to hire, and Miss Barbara gave that to us for free. I got one of the great honors. I got to preach at Barbara Anderson's Sunday school class, and I've always wanted to say this. It was the first time I felt I could do it with a clean heart. And I stood up in front of that coffin and I said, there lies a champion, and God is my witness. As soon as those words came out of my mouth, I saw several men begin to weep. You know why? Because they knew it was true. God had built something beautiful. God had built something good with somebody who cooperated with God. Miss Barbara told me one time she had $50,000 and she had to make it last for 20 years, 23 years or something like that. But the barrel never ran empty and God took care of her and watched over her. Think of this, an ordinary person who cooperated with God, and we saw some beauty, didn't we? Boy, we saw some beauty. You ever meet Ben Turner? Did you ever meet him? If you ever met the great Ben Turner, maybe the greatest Christian I ever met, but if you ever met him, he was not a very assuming man. He actually was very slender. I'll tell you a funny story. One time we hired, Ben was the founder of Calvary Children's Home, and one time we hired a new set of house parents, and the guy's name was Andy. I won't call his last name, but he came running into the office. He's like, "Brian, I just ran an old man off from using our dumpster, and he said I should come in here and tell you because he's allowed to use the dumpster." I said, "Well, you did." I said, "What was his name?" He said, "His name was Ben Turner, and the office will tell you I can use this dumpster, right?" And anyway, he was just a simple man. He was slight. Did you know he was missing an eye? He had a glass eyeball. He had a raspy voice from all those years of preaching, right? Very simple man. Do you know that for about 14 years when I traveled for the children's home, even 100 miles from here, I did not have one experience where somebody didn't walk up to me and say, "Ben Turner led me to the Lord." Every single place I went, somebody walked up to me. Sometimes there were people who were younger than me that said that. God built something beautiful. And in that very simple, unassuming man, he said one day, "You know what? I feel like God told us to build a place for children whose parents can't take care of them." And let me tell you something. Isn't that thing beautiful? Isn't that thing beautiful? Did you know that our Michael Mitchell became a police officer on Thursday? Got sworn in, Michael Mitchell right there, 21 years old, grew up with us. How about that? Do you know Kevin is a senior? He's a senior. He's walking with God. Who knows what church he's going to have in. Do you know Shiloh won Female Vocalist of the Year at that very talented school over there? It's beautiful. You know what I say to those kids? I say, "I'm part Cochran, you're part Busby. I'm part, Mitchell, you're part Busby." And they say it back to me at times. It's a precious, precious thing. And it's true because we're family. God has built something absolutely beautiful. And can I say this to those kids? Hey, if you know Jesus Christ 100 years from now, let's meet by the pearly gates and play dodgeball. Let's do it, right? 100 years from now, let's meet by the pearly gates and let's play dodgeball. In my new glorified body, I'll be more competitive. I'm so fat, they love to pelt me with anything. I can't move, you know? It's crazy, but it's true. I promise you this is true. God builds the beautiful in the life of those who would cooperate. I've shared this before, but I felt like the Lord told me to. We had a teenager at the children's home, I don't know, 20 years ago, who got off the rails a little bit and told me he was leaving the children's home. He was 17, and it broke my heart. And I said to God, "God, I love this kid so much. I'm going to pray. And if you don't speak to me by the morning light, I'm going to pray till the morning. All through the night, I'm going to pray." And right out of the gate, when I began to pray, God said to me, "I have this one." That's what he said. Clear as day. I wouldn't tell you God said something. I'm not one of those people. If God says something, I'll tell you he said it. And I won't tell you if I think maybe. But God said to me, clear as day, "I have this one." Kid was trying to get out of the children's home. You know what was crazy? About 17 years later, this church made that kid a deacon on the same night they made me a deacon. Isn't that precious? If you don't know the Moss story, I'm not going to tell it today, but you owe it to yourself to meet me in that classroom afterwards and let me tell you what God did with that family, the extraordinary. Somebody walk with God. Somebody cooperate with God a little bit, and God begins to drop off the beautiful. Point number two, and we're almost done. You know what's crazy? We have this extraordinary God who's trying to involve himself in the life of ordinary people, but most people reject this extraordinary God. It's true. If we didn't have the rest of the scriptures in this chapter, I might wonder that Abraham would turn this down because so many other people had walked away and turned down the kindness of God. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ came, the Bible called him Emmanuel, God with us. And how did we treat Jesus Christ? Was he well received? No, we tried to kill him from the time he was a baby. And I don't mean to be graphic, but if you're killing other babies trying to find Jesus and kill him, you are full out trying to reject Jesus Christ, right? You're full out. Then we tried to throw him off a cliff. You ever read that in the scriptures? They go to throw him off a cliff and he just passed through him. I bet that was like, bummer, what do we do? You know what I mean? And then when we finally got our hands on him, we ripped his skin off and we tortured him and we stabbed him in the side and we killed him. We don't want him. If you look at society or you look at any survey, there's no survey on the earth. If you say how many Christians are on the earth, there's no survey that says more than 30%. Most of them say 17 to 18%. And let me just say this to you. If you guys take up a vote for youth pastor today, and 83% of you or 70% of you say, "No, we don't want you," I'll get the message that you want somebody else. And that's the message that we have sent to God. But why did God come even though we don't want him? You know why? Because he knew we needed him. He knew we needed him so bad. and he tries to get into our lives and offer his help into our lives. He offers salvation to you. If you're not saved today, can I just tell you, Jesus Christ died on a cruel cross to pay for your sins so that you don't have to experience the punishment of your sins and death, and that you could be saved today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Savior, then you're part of the crew that is pushing him away and pushing him away. I love the story of the Mark storm where Jesus comes across the stormy sea and then he delivers that demoniac and the demons go and the pigs. But the back of that story is crazy to me. This is the first time, as far as we know in the scriptures, Jesus has ever been over there. He's been healing the sick and healing the lame and raising the dead and doing all things that only God can do. He's been healing sickness and infirmities and whatnot. And he gets over there and immediately they see that they've lost their pigs. And you know what they do? They say, Jesus, we don't want you. Please leave. And I just got to say, I want to interject in the story. I want somebody to say, well, wait. Hold on. My son's blind. Don't leave yet. Wait a second, man. My mom's been hunched over for 40 years. Don't leave yet. My daughter's so sick. Don't leave yet, Jesus. But nobody does. They push him out. And the crazy thing about this God who reaches to unwelcoming man is that demoniac said, take me with you. And Jesus said, no, you got to stay. Because they had to have some hope in the land of the Gadarenes. They had to have some hope there. Be careful you don't distance yourself from God. Be careful you don't push back because you want something in your life. Why would Abraham have wanted to stay? They had houses in the land of Babel, right? In Ur of the Chaldeans. They had buildings. He was going out. The Bible says he would have to live in a tent. You know why he had to live in a tent? Because he had lots to see. And he had to move and see it all, right? And experience what God had for him in his life. But if God calls you to go or to get something out of your life, don't miss out what God's trying to do. Think of Gideon. We love the story. I'm almost done. We love the story of Gideon. God shows up to Gideon, your mighty man of valor, while he's hiding his biscuits. That's hilarious to me. Anyway, you're in bad trouble when you're hiding your biscuits, man. Somebody trying to get your biscuits, that ain't right. At the children's home, you keep one eye open when you pray, or somebody's going to take your tater tot, right? Anyway, you follow what I'm saying. He's hiding his biscuits, and God reaches out to him. And God says to him, you're going to deliver Israel with my help. And if you remember the story, the Bible says that the night that that happened, God said to him, go cut down the grove that's in your father's orchard, so to speak. Go cut down your father's grove. That was the place where they worshiped false gods. And you know what God was saying to him? Essentially, I plan deliverance, but if that family sin doesn't go, you're going to live outside the incredible, the extraordinary help of God. And if Gideon had said, no, man, we're keeping that grove. That's my daddy's grove. Or I'm afraid. I mean, the townspeople came to kill him when he did it. I'm afraid, right? I'm not doing that. But you know what Gideon did? He snuck out at night and he obeyed God somehow, some way, and he opened the door to the extraordinary. He cooperated with God and he opened the door to the extraordinary. And he's so glad that he did. And every person who's ever trusted Jesus Christ, I love the story of Joshua. There's a story when Joshua's crossing the Jordan River, and you know the story where he told him to take out 12 rocks, but there's this story, and we're not told why Joshua did this. But the Bible says that while the 12 tribes are carrying those rocks out of the Jordan River, it's been dried up and split. What a sight that must have been. That Joshua, this leader, went back into the river and piled up 12 stones to make an altar in the river. And at the end of the book of Joshua, it essentially says those stones are still there to that day. When it was written, they were still there. That pile, it was big enough maybe to see above the river. Or at sometimes when the river was low, you could still spot that. And you wonder, hey, why did Joshua do that? The Bible says they were carrying them on their shoulder and these big rocks. And while this is up, why did Joshua do that? Can I tell you what the Bible says? The Bible says to God said to Joshua, I'm going to rest in that river. God said, I'm going to rest in that river. Jesus or God took a seat in the river to block it or laid down. We don't know. He just said, I'm going to rest in the river and you're going to walk in dry land. You know what Joshua, who was walking with God, knew? I can't see you. I can't smell you. I can't hear you audibly. I can't touch you. I certainly couldn't taste the Lord, all of our senses, but I know you're here. I can see your work. And wherever you are, I'm building an altar to you because you are awesome. Nobody told Joshua to do that. that came from his heart. The more you know God, the more you love God, the more you love God, the more you serve God, and now you've got the internal driving. There's no cheerleaders needed to do these things when something's stirring on the inside. You don't ever have to tell a mom, pack your child's lunch. They just got that going on. They're going to do that, right? They're going to take care of it. When you love somebody, it comes from within, and that's what God has offered. Let me ask you two things. Number one, if you are not saved today, be careful. The Bible says the wrath of God waits over you. And God sent his son Jesus Christ to shield you from the wrath. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And you could step out of this life and you don't have that covering. You will pay for your own sins. I am your friend. I don't tell you that because it's fun. I tell you that because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When the Bible says the pathway to life is narrow and few there be that find it, you know why? Because the pathway is Jesus. One path. The veil split right down the middle, one hole. There's one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place today and you know you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you've got some stuff in your life that maybe a grove that needs to go, don't hold on to it longer. The longer we hold on to it, the more we become accustomed to it, and the more we hold off the extraordinary. The more we hold off the move of God that we need. You know, if you're a parent today, you desperately need the help of God running up and down the hallways of your house. You're raising kids in a crazy time. This is not the time to have something distancing yourself to God. If you're a grandparent today, your children and your grandchildren desperately need the help of God to be running up. If you're a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or you're in this place of service, the people don't need us. They don't need us. They just don't. I got nothing I can give these people. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. They need something that came from God. Let's not have the pipes clogged. Let's be clean. Our pastor says at times, repent it up to date, right? Let's be clean. Jesus said, teach us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses right there with it, right? Clean up to date, the help of God moving. There's an extraordinary God that loves to involve himself in the life of ordinary people, and he'd drop off some extraordinary if we just cooperate. Lord, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness to us. We thank you so much for this church that allows the young people to stand and to sing and to share. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that if there's somebody in this place today and you've pricked an area of their life, that they would bow a knee and say, I repent of that. I don't want that in my life. Maybe it's an unkindness that we've said to somebody. Maybe it's an addiction that's just been getting us and we need some help with it, God. Maybe it's something that's just not pleasing unto you. Father, I pray that we would repent of that, God. And Lord, I'm in that boat too. I say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Help me to be hearing your voice. I need you so bad, Jesus. And if there's somebody in this place today that's never trusted you as their Savior, would you put strength in their legs, help them get to this altar so we could talk to them about putting their trust in you. It's so, so very simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look our way. Involve yourself. Give our pastor wisdom as he leads the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, be quick to come. Let's sing an acapella.
Amen.
Great. I love to see, precious to see senior citizens coming, asking the Lord for help. Precious to see those turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Come on. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
there's some praying this morning, maybe you need to come. Don't put it off. As Brother Brian had mentioned, maybe there might be someone here that's not saved that you don't know, that you know that when you die, heaven will be your home. Make that known today. And be for sure today. You may be here, be already saved. You may just need to come and leave some things behind so you can receive some things in front of you. We're going to continue to sing and play, whatever they want to do while these are praying. Don't put the Lord off. You come. That's why we're here. Please come.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt wear.
Anyone else this morning?
And cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God.
There's still time this morning. There's still time. Again, we still have some praying, and the invitation will continue. Did you enjoy the message this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Brian, so very much. God continuing to use you, brother, to nudge us to leave some things behind, to receive some things. And I'm just so very thankful for that message this morning. And thankful for our young people and the singing that they did. Great job, young people. And, of course, we're still being conscious of these that are finishing up, these that are praying. But I do want to say this. I was able to sit in on Sunday school this morning, something I don't very rarely get to do, never get to do. And Brother CJ brought a tremendous lesson this morning. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Thank you, Brother CJ. I think you're downstairs or you're somewhere handling something this morning. And so thank you for that this morning. Did an amazing job. He will be speaking tonight downstairs when we have the amazing food from our amazing cook, Miss Darlene, and children's home. Looking forward to that so very much. Thank you guys for doing that. Brother Kevin, appreciate your word this morning, brother. What a blessing that was. I was sitting there thinking about that Campbell's soup. Man, you do see a little different than a lot of people, and we see things a little different when God has moved in our life than a lot of people. Maybe we'll get you a little Campbell's soup, a little charm, a little necklace and wear it. Only you will know what that means, brother. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's just a reminder of what God can do. Such a blessing. And again, the message this morning, leave and receive. So much more was said in that message, but that's how God spoke to me. Leave and receive. Miss Shiloh had the day off today. And she had her wisdom teeth taken out. And so I seen her this morning, asked her how she was doing. She said she's doing okay, doing fine. I said, well, take the day off today. How about that? But she'll be back singing in no time. So again, so very thankful for the music and the singers we had this morning. Also want to say the Martins are back. And I think they're gone. Oh, there's Miss Amanda. They're about to be gone. We're all about to be gone in a minute. But anyway, they got—they're back. Carter's Cooperstown comeback, and so he's back today. And in fact, I got a pin on. Some may have received this pin, but I got a pin on in support. I wear it proudly of Carter, who played in Cooperstown. And I think CJ went sliding through some mud. Some have seen that video on Facebook. But what a blessing to have you guys back. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? Good to have Michael Bendy in the house this morning. Good to see you, brother. It's been a long time. Good to have you. Good to have Miss Gladys Cochran with us this morning. If that's all we have, I want to ask Brother Michael if he would close us out in a word of prayer. Just remember tonight, 5 o'clock, dinner and devotion. Brother Michael. Yes. you're dismissed.